You guys don't mind if I share a couple of stories? Some family news. Wasn't a recent photo, but we had our 30th wedding anniversary this year. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I know, I'm a very patient man. That's right. And that's what it's like. I didn't have a suit in those days. Mind you, it was 42 degrees when we got married. So I didn't really need one. And this year, Francine was named as the Maribyrnong Citizen of the Year, 2014. Congratulations to my dear wife again. And we got to share that with some of the folks from church, which was really special. And that was kind of unusual, you know, because I knew she'd been nominated. And I thought, we got through the proceedings and they'd given what I thought was the award to somebody else. I said, oh, she'll be so disappointed. Hang on, wait, there's one more, they said. And she got the big one. And anyway, she got up to give a little speech and give glory to God in those things. And as she came off the stage, she's talking to the mayor. And the mayor, you know, first time, mayor, you need to get a new flag. That Aboriginal flag's lost all its colour and it's faded there. So she's straight away at work. And I thought, that's good. Let's use that. Our son Mark, who's not with us this morning, he's back from America. He's been in college. I know you've been, some of you folks will remember, we've been praying for him. He got a spot in college. This is him over here, 42. And it's a Christian college. It's a Bible college. And it was actually, it's in New York. It was called the, in days gone by, it was called the Practical Bible College. I like the sound of that. It's nuts and bolts, but it's high level and it's good theology and has a really good basis. Been going for well over 100 years. And so he's got the opportunity to play basketball, which has been his focus and dream for a long time. And he's studying the Word and he's preparing for ministry, which, you know, is a really exciting thing and a blessing for us. And I got to go over there and I can tell you, I've never actually seen snow until I went there. And it's kind of cold, you know, and hard. And I really didn't expect that. I thought it's all soft and fluffy, you know, like cotton wool or something. But it was really good fun to be able to have a little bit of time with him and to share in their college. And I probably let it slip a little bit because, you know, you might have guessed, I'm not a highly trained man. I went to share in the college and I shared our journey and how the Lord led us. And on my heart from when I first got saved, I wanted to go and do this. And so we went and did this, you know, and then when we got married, we went around Australia and we felt the Lord called us to go. You've heard that story. Hadn't really had any experience in doing this. We felt this is God's calling. We need to do it. And literally when we were called, we felt we check what we've got, our resources. We're ready to go. We've got 1 cent to our name. Literally. I had bad health. We had no car. Didn't have much experience. But apart from that, we were ready to go. Lord, send me. And so within a few months, we had a little vehicle. We did it. And I realized I'm talking to Bible college students, a couple hundred of them, you know. They've set themselves aside 3 years or 4 years to get ready to maybe then go. And I thought, the professors give me a funny look over there. I realized what it was after. I sort of, you know, we have a little bit of a different story, I guess. Isn't this place great? Wow, have a look at all of this. It's so special, and I was sharing with Paul just as we came in. We got really excited when we had renovations to our church in One Arm Point. And One Arm Point is a really small place, okay, a few hundred people. We put sheets of second-hand tin, one sheet around the posts that was the walls. And so now we've got walls about that much. And it was kind of exciting. Because when the winter winds blew, they'd blow through and it was hard for the oldies, you know. Some would sit with a blanket and things. So, you know, things that make you excited in God, it doesn't have to be a really big thing like this, but, you know, we should look for them, shouldn't we? And we've been really excited because God has answered our prayers there for our son, who's been a real fanatic with his sports and stuff since he's a little kid. And God is blessing him. and often mention him. I don't know if I mentioned the other boys, so I better do the right thing. There's our oldest boy. He works in the mines, and he just started back in a mine in WA. He sent us this photo. It's not very fair to do that, so I got the other photos. I don't know what happened there. They're supposed to see most of his face. Maybe it's a widescreen sort of a thing, but this is him here. That's Luke in the middle and Daniel with the suit. Well, that's not very fair of me to put Daniel in there with his suit where he's really handsome and everything. So just to even it up, because I know how it works with families, they will hear about this. They will, Dad, why did you do that? So just to even it up for them, I've got his Facebook photo where, yeah, he's sort of, yeah, he looks like he's just been let out of somewhere and you shouldn't have been. But God has blessed us with our family, and the boys are in Perth, and Billy in WA, and Mark's back with us just at the moment from America. God has been good with us, and we see them trusting the Lord. Daniel's actually the chairperson for our chaplaincy work that we've started, and I'll share a bit about that in a minute. But it hasn't all been easy this year as well. Francine lost a family member. Her auntie killed her nephew. The auntie's nephew, her cousin. And just a few months ago, and it was just really bad temper, alcohol involved. And now, can you imagine how that family has to deal with this, you know, because now she will have gone to jail. They've lost a 20-year-old, and it's just nothing prepares you for those things. And some of the family life has been really tough, especially on her side of the family, because one of her cousins has lost a son, I think I might have mentioned a few years ago. He was in a boating accident, and Dad lost it. He fell to bits and got into drinking. Then Mum lost it and she's fallen to bits. And now the kids have gone back to Dad now that they're separated and all of this. And Mum's calling her and she's suicidal. And that's her close sister cousin, you know. So we're dealing with those kind of things. And she's going to come over and live with us for a bit to get through this at some point, most probably. Another sister cousin has been living with us for over a year and struggled because that family broke up as well. And Dad walked out on them. And so, you know, life is not all simple and straightforward. And in ministry life, you often carry a lot of that stuff. People often look at you at the front of the church and say, you don't know how hard it is for us in our normal life. You're a preacher man. And, you know, sometimes we do. Actually, we know more sometimes. And do pray for us because some of that stuff is a heavy, very heavy load. And nobody's really that prepared for it. Yeah, Daniel. Some church news. At Christmas, we had 73 people come to a Christmas dinner. And that was a really big deal for us. Very exciting. And not all of them stayed for the service, but most did. And it was really encouraging to see that. And like a lot of people in the community are from really dysfunctional families, and there's a lot of mental health issues. And so we're really rejoicing in God that people feel comfortable to come and be a part of it all. This photo was taken after a baptism, and it was a very exciting day for us. A husband and wife got baptized, Patrick and Joanne. Isn't that something? And they'd been resisting the Lord. She'd trusted the Lord, but he'd been resisting and holding out and waiting for a better day and things. Anyway, the friends of theirs that had been a solid Christian witness for many years, and his pastor, and they're friends, this family's their friends. Anyway, pastor now has a heart attack, goes into hospital. They come to visit, and as they leave, Patrick turns to go back. He said, hang on, I want to go back. So he went back in, and Darren is the pastor, he's in bed. He asked him there if he can give his life to the Lord. Now, you know, pastors don't normally do it that way, eh? It's usually a bit of a role reversal there. The pastor will come to somebody and ask them, would you like to give your life to the Lord? Pastor's there having a heart attack. Led him to the Lord. God can do the opposite, can't he? And the light came on and life changed. And they've been part of our church. and they wanted to be baptized. And it's so exciting, it's really precious. They have a bunch of kids. Now, we don't have all of these kids regularly come, that's another story, but it was just, you can see that's a pretty happy group, isn't it? It was a really wonderful night. And their daughter is over here. We were able to hook it up that their daughter went to a Christian school in America and playing basketball again, and it was just wonderful. And the whole family have got involved and interested, and they've seen this as really God's blessing, that our little families would have somebody that could go and do that. And they made it to national title competition, and they made it to the final, and it was broadcast on the internet. And in the first 53 seconds, she came out, twisted her ankle, fell over, blew it totally. And she, you know, she's a little older, she's 19, but she's planning to be married when she comes back in the next week or two. They're planning to be married sometime this year. So, you know, how good is God? Those things are really precious to us. And the family just thinking, oh, God has blessed us so much. Did I miss the baptism? Anyway, we have two churches. The other church is in Thornbury, and that's been going for many years, and we meet in Footscray. And the work in Thornbury faded right down, so we felt when we came we needed a fresh start. And so God opened the doors and we were there in Footscray. And the work at Thornbury has actually picked up a bit. We thought this is about to go, because it was an Aboriginal church that had gotten down to an Aboriginal couple that were there with the ministry, and about three or four old white folks, and one of them would fall asleep and snore quite loud through the service. And I can say that because none of you will tell them, right? He would snore. And anyway, worse than that, some of the buildings fallen in and water's running down the inside wall. And we came hoping to start a work with footy players and their families, you know. And this was just not going to work. So we, you know, the Lord opened another door. But this has actually revived a little, and, you know, there may be about 10 meet there regularly, and those folks that I mentioned, they're not there anymore. And Pastor Dennis Atkinson, who's trying to help hold things together, he's actually had 3 heart attacks. He's our other musician, and he's better than me. I'm the other one. So this is kind of, you know, this is kind of overdoing it for us, because we haven't seen all this stuff. Not really, but it's really exciting to see people wanting to get up and help and serve. And you can see that they've made a big artwork around there in Aboriginal styling, and it's about Matthew chapter 24. Anyway, as it is, I do most of the work there as well. So we've got 2 churches going, a morning and a night, really, and we're working as one body, and we're having a lot of dramas with the system. I won't go into that this morning, but pray for us. Church life has been exciting. Our own little fellowship in Footscray, we have a website, and if you want it, you can link on there and get regular, like, you know, not very regular, but updates that we send out as emails. We put on a special event for the apology, and we really wanted to open this up to more community members, and we deal on a regular basis with people at a really difficult point in life, you know, that they're battlers. And those guys have started to feel like this is their church. They invite people to church. I hardly invite people to church. When I'm there with any of those guys, they do all the talking. But you've got to come to our church. We've got a church. Now, some of these people are saying they're not even Christians. I've never seen that in my life. So it's really good. Anyway, we did this to open it up, and we had about 65, I think, that came along for that. But anyway, we had a really special event, and we got one of our members of our church, Professor Muriel Bamblett, as our speaker on this topic. And we've been running a family therapy program around Aboriginal history and identity, and we did it as an art thing, and you know, we use all kinds of language, but we're really carrying the message of love and hope in Christ. And we built a little place, and we made the words and painted them all up. And Uncle Roy, who you remember, was one of our speakers. We had about 7 or 8, wasn't very restricted. But Muriel did a wonderful speech, a very professional lady. And like you can see there, it was like a little tin shed inside the back hall at the church. And Uncle Roy got to share some of his testimony and things as well. So we didn't really set it up as a Christian thing. We had people from the council as well. But boy, you know, everybody seemed to speak about God. So it was really good. Because that should be natural, shouldn't it? It should not be something we plan and structure so much as the genuine heart of what we are and what we do. And so that was really something quite special. And folks have gone over their story, and often they're not heard in this. It's done behind closed doors, only with people that know them. And so now to have this confidence to bring it out and let the whole world hear, this will happen to me, my family, and so on. And it's very, very powerful. People are realizing that they are valuable in society because someone came to hear and share. And we did a lot of interactive stuff. So that was a little bit of thing about the project that we were working on. And the Maribyrnong Council supported us to do this. Gosh, I've never heard of this either. You know, the councils are often the ones you work against to try and get things done. And they were actually very supportive. And so, again, we did open it up for community, but as it turned out to be more of a Christian focus, folks were able to dig into their ancestry and, you know, a lot of broken links that they don't understand, and we're able to deal with that gently in the Lord's name. When we finished that, we started straight into Bible study. We've been having the habit of coming. Let's keep coming now. We'll make it Bible study. And on Wednesday, we had our biggest Bible study of 9 people, and that was really good. A couple of other big exciting things. Like I say, this is ministry news, so it sort of blurs the lines of what is church activities and what's not. But I got invited to go to a conference in Orlando. That can't be right. I got an email, and it was an email with a bit of detail, not much. Didn't actually say exactly who it was from. Jorge something. Mozambique. Well, you know what to do with those emails, right? You have been invited, da-di-da. Oh, yes, okay. And I had it right on the delete button, ready to push. But the only one thing stuck in my mind for a second was that there's an address of where this conference is going to be at a conference centre in Orlando. And I thought, well, I'm going to tell that conference centre that these guys are putting out their name about this conference that's not there, not real. And so I emailed it, found out it's a real place. I emailed them, and they said, yes, it is actually booked here for that date. Anyway, I was literally invited to go to Orlando. It was actually me. And it's a sports ministry conference. And there's like 350 people from all around the world. And I'm in a room with people focusing on church-based things, and there's guys from Russia, and there's guys from Portugal and Brazil. They were going crazy about this thing called soccer. Yeah, soccer? Yeah, I've heard of it. Anyway, it was really encouraging that we all love the Lord, and we wanted to see opportunities for churches to reach out through sports ministries, whether it's small things, youth, whatever, however we do it. And I had some great and encouraging stuff. And, you know, when they invited me, once I realised it was going to happen, my thought is, I'm going to go and see my boy in New York. Orlando and New York are quite far apart, by the way. But I was really happy about that. I'll suffer through this conference. I'll get through it. They're going to be all these hypo guys, not like me, kind of shy and retiring. And I'll just get through the week of that, and then I'll go and see my boy. But it wasn't like that at all. I had a really good time. It was a great conference. And I'm hoping that they send me another email and I don't delete anything from Mozambique, you know. That it was really good. And so we're involved with that stuff as well. And there's a group in a national group, and we're trying to get a committee, not a really structured one, but, you know, organised to start to share information about how to do sports ministry at a local level, and encourage churches to reach out into their community. And as you know, We've had that part already. I didn't know that was coming this morning, so that's something that's been quite special for us to get that opportunity. We were in a committee that Paul has now joined as well, to an Indigenous task force, it's called, and we helped design that document and modify it a bit. And so it's really nice to hear it back, especially in a living church context and not in a little office trying to, you know, correct things. So it's really great. I was asked to speak at an Easter convention up in Bimbadeen, New South Wales, which is Cootamundra. It's an Aboriginal Bible college. There's only two in the evangelical side that have been functioning, especially for a long time. This one's faded out a bit, but they at least still have things like... Hey, I'm still there? Yeah. And it was a really great opportunity for me to share and meet up with some folks again. And Patrick and Joanne were there. And I wanted to share a little bit about their story. Hang on. I think I might have that later. I think I've got it later. But this was a children's home, a girls' home. And even folks from our church here in Melbourne, their mum was placed in this home and taken from hers and placed in there. And later on, when she had children, the daughter was taken from that family and placed in there. And there is one photo that's there on a sign at the front of the place, and we think it's got this guy's mum in that photo. And so it's very special. And there's going to be a women's conference up there pretty soon. So chaplaincy news, one exciting thing. I didn't get to take the wedding, but I got to go to the wedding for Neville Jetter. Neville hit the headlines just this week as being one of the guys that is targeted for racism, along with Adam Goods. And look at those guys, a beautiful family, and you know, God is blessing them. His grandfather was the pastor of the Church of Christ in WA, so we're really blessed to be involved. And you might have heard about this young man. You like that photo? Perhaps you might like that photo. This one? This one. Okay, me too. Yes, this is exciting that, you know, a footy player could be, while he's playing, the Australian of the Year. And to use that to have an influence and to speak back into the whole of the country about things that are important. And I just thought that's pretty great. And then last week we hear a bit more about him. I won't spend time on that. But we've been working on getting a chaplaincy going. As you know, we did a chaplaincy training and we were able to do that and start what we thought, use our position with the footy work to get some leverage and invite other people to learn the skills and get involved so they can help and be better supported back in their own communities to be able to reach the people that are really struggling. And we have the highest suicide rates in the world in the Aboriginal community. And we have the least trained pastors. We have the least supported pastors. When I started talking about this stuff in 2010, I said I could count on one hand the number of Indigenous pastors in evangelical circles that I know of who are supported properly. Now I can count on two fingers. So we're not going in the right direction there. One of the guys who's doing chaplaincy work in a prison, he actually does a great job. He's really rough and ready type of character. And his work, when he started, the prison had 11 people that would attend church, not always regularly. Since he started, 110 come to the church. He has had that much of an impact, and he was supported by the Anglicans. Once it got to be that successful, they've cut his funding so that he's not even getting enough to cover his fuel to go there. But he's not going to stop. God bless him. So they're the kind of things that we're dealing with. So we've taken it from there. Out of that training, we had this, which I thought was a feedback, which was really special. I've learned that through Christ and some more training, I can become whatever God has called me to become. And after this training, I have the confidence to go out and be able to talk to my people and help the ones in need and possibly guide them to Christ through His will and strength. So a young lady wrote that, you know, and that really blessed me. Because we were trying to get this across, that there is an opportunity here where you can get open doors. And she really got it. And out of that, we said, what do? We form a group? Yes, we'll go and form a group. I think there's a picture. Yeah, we're planted. I try and put a little funny stuff in some of this youth program, Solid Chaplaincy Indigenous Youth Program. We nearly have liftoff. Okay. Of starting a Certificate 4 in chaplaincy. And we're partnered up with Access. And that hasn't quite worked, and that's been a delay, and so we're partnering now with ACOM. Access is supportive, and it's a long story. I won't bore you to tears. But do pray for us, because at the moment we have 10 people listed to do a Certificate 4 in chaplaincy, and to my knowledge there's probably 5 in the whole country that have done that. Okay, so we're about to multiply the opportunity. And at the moment, we've got the agreement to go ahead. We've signed papers and things. We've got enough to start. You can tell where the rest of that is going, can't you? We have not got enough to get to the middle of starting, let alone the finish. So do pray for us, because I'm trusting God we need to raise maybe another $60,000 to $80,000 this year to do all of this. But God can. There's the names. Our son, I put him at the top, not for any special reason, but he is actually the chairman of the group, because it's a youth work. And people from all over the country ready to go. And I've got 2 down the bottom. I put a question mark on their pensioners. And I'm not sure if they'll know how to do all the stuff on computer, but they were keen to do it as well. And do pray that God will bless and use these people and provide for them to be able to get through all of this. In fact, I put my hand up and I said, no, as an organisation, we're going to raise the money for you to do it. I haven't done that before. I've done it for myself, but now I've really put myself out there. So pray the Lord will answer that prayer. Good news. Now, it's Arnie Viv here. Arnie Viv's a real local character. And she gave a life to the Lord. When we first came to the area of Footscray, she's like a known celebrity and a real character. And she came to church for a long time, and one day she called Francine aside before the service, before the message, went out the back and wanted to give a life to the Lord. Just like that. You know, all the opposite ways of doing things. I can see a pattern. But anyway, she was able to pray with her, and she's had really poor health ever since. So do pray that Aunty Viv will be strong. But she's become a new creation in Christ, for which we all rejoice. This is the photo of the baptism that I mentioned. So we've got the little baptismal there, and there's Patrick and Joanne. How special was that? And all the kids were beaming. Here is a foundation laid in their life, that Christ is first. And they've all been encouraged and blessed by all of that. Another sister here is wanting to go to America when the other one comes back another year or two. And the family blessing is just unbelievable. Now, Patrick wants to do the chaplaincy training because he wants to serve young people in his home community, and he would be really good at it. And I wanted to share about him, because when we were there, just as this photo has been taken before that, he talked to me for a minute. He said, you know, brother, when I was taken away, my family had 11 kids, 10 of us were taken, and one was left behind. And my brother and I were placed in a home, and I got up on the roof just like that one there, he said. And I just said, look, I watched down the road every day for my mum to come. No, she'll come. She will come. And anyway, he gave up hope. He climbed up onto the roof of the building and he said, if she's not coming, I'm going to throw myself down. It's a little boy. But at that time, his brother climbed the tree. His brother, who was a little bit older, saw him and he looked at him in terror. And Patty said, it looked at me as if to say, you're not going to leave me, are you? You're not going to leave me. And without a word, they both climbed down. That close to for missing out on all the things God had for him and his family. That close, friends. And of course, that's God's timing, isn't it? And his timing is perfect. Now, here he was looking down the road at this home. And the home is actually, it was the old hospital, but it's at the top of the hill on the outskirts of town. And he said, I would have looked down just like this, looking down the road. And you know what? My mum was here, in this place. And I never came till now. He's come for a Christian convention as part of the family of God. And my kids are here playing and happy and laughing. And I reckon my mum would have stood here and looked down that road and waited for somebody to come and to take her back as well. But we did come. We have come. And we've come in faith. And we've come because of what God has done. And we just both felt very emotional. That's how God works. It's a slow plan sometimes, but it does work. And so exciting. So do pray for Patrick and his wife Joanne. And the kids there. I want to read from Scripture. I know I've taken a lot. I do that. I take a lot of your time with stories, but to me, it's all contextual. Scripture lived out in real life. And I don't get many opportunities to come here and bore you, so I'll do it when I do get the chance. I want to read from Isaiah and just a little bit from chapter 6. If you want to follow along, it's just a few verses, chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And it speaks of the angels, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord, and it's a very rare thing. And what did he see? He saw the Lord high and holy and exalted. We speak about a new vision. You hear about that a lot. And, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with some of the things I hear as, we have a new vision and we're going in this direction. And because we have a 2,000-year-old legacy, which is church. And, of course, we're in a new generation. So is that vision completely new? And I'm a little challenged and uncomfortable about some of that terminology. But when there is a vision for change or growth or development, whatever it might be, let it be that he is high and lifted up. Let it be that his place is first place. Let it be that the Lord is revealed in all his goodness, and everything else will fall into place after that. I was sharing with an Aboriginal pastor in Adelaide just last Saturday, because we're there to try and enroll the last of the folks that are keen to get involved. And he said to me, you know, about vision, when he started to talk, my ears twitched, and he said, because God is blessing this place, you see. There is a lot of people who have come to know the Lord and they want to serve. And some of them, one lady, she's just signed up to become a prison chaplain. She's got no training, no experience. She's in there for 3 weeks and she's loving it. And she wants to sign up to do the course. How good is that? We come along with something that God has pieced together at the right time. He said, but with this about vision, it's really not that it's a new vision. It's that we actually got back to what the vision ought to have been that we lost. That is to serve the Lord and to give him glory and to do what it is that his will be done in our life. I'm comfortable with that definition. I really am. So if we say a new vision, it's actually back to where it was, that Christ is all and in all. And he is the answer and the hope. He is the purpose and the Saviour. And they sang in praise, "Holy, holy, holy." I actually believe we've come to an age, even in church life, where we don't tremble at the holiness of God enough. I don't mean that we wind each other up to an emotional state. I mean just before the Lord, He is holy and we are not. You look at this, the honest confession. In verse 4, the sound of the voices, at the sound of the voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "for I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." There was an honest confession that I have no rights to His presence. I am not worthy. In fact, I never will be. Nobody I know is worthy. So what is my chance? There need to be that kind of honest confession before the Lord. We cannot do this without you, God. We cannot even enter your presence without the work of Jesus Christ. It's a little reading, but in verse 6, "One of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.'" A burning coal. And of course we see that the redemption we have through Jesus Christ, something we share about through His blood, it should be a burning coal in us. It should be a fire. We should be touched by it. We should be moved by His power and His redemption. Just to think that He could come to us. He does the work of atoning and redemption. He has taken away our sin. Nothing we can do can do that. There is no economic answer. There is no political answer. There is not even a logical answer to what God can do that we cannot do for ourselves. He has taken our sins away, beloved, and He's not bringing them back. And He's prepared to do that for as long as you live. That is a powerful redemption. He was a man of unclean lips, now His lips are touched. We can speak for Christ. We can speak holiness. We can speak life and love because of Him. I've called this part the Great Commission in verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" It's not actually a Great Commission, it's actually a great call. Who will go? Who's willing? I don't know how it happened. I don't know how God feels about it. But in the life of the church across the world, there can be this real staleness. "I'm not willing. That's hard. I won't do that, Lord. There's other people more gifted for that. I'm quite happy to just pray and come and sing along." But the Lord sends this great call out. It's an invitation for commission. Who will go? Do you feel the burning? Do you feel the burning? You don't have to go, but you have to feel what it is He wants you to do, and do that with all your heart. We have another church that's very supportive of us in Oakley, and this church has got like almost nobody under 70. And this is, here it is again, God doing the unusual, the unexpected. These guys pray for us regularly and they give, you know, as they can. And when we go there to share, they say, "You guys are our hands and our feet because we can't go. We are sending you. You know the Lord sent you, but you're our hands and feet out there." And we have that, you know, we have that. Look at this. This morning have youth program and Sunday school. Things that you can't do, but you can pray and you can encourage and support and all those things. Who will go? And the last one I have this morning, the willing volunteer. And I said, "Here I am, send me." He didn't say, "Here we are, send us." "Here I am, send me." whatever it is, you know, my favourite old hymn, we don't hear a lot of the old hymns much, but my favourite one is this, trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Two simple things. And if we do those, we are offering ourselves as a volunteer. And it might be that you don't actually even cross the road. You don't have to go around the world. You don't have to raise $1 million. You just need to be obedient. See the vision. Realise the redemption. Hear the call, the great commission. And do what it is the Lord has given you to do. May the Lord bless you all this morning. And thank you for listening and sharing with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace and your kindness to us. Thank you for your mercy and compassion. We do pray, Lord, that we might be a faithful people that look to your coming and reach out in your name wherever we might go. And we thank you in the name above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.
Well, thanks, Tony. And before we sing our last song, Julie, if you can just... Oh, if we could have a couple of volunteers to take up the offering. Paul went out and told me he'd forgotten to do it, so could I chuck it in at the end? But thanks, Tony and Francine, and we really want to publicly honour you for your amazing representation of Christ to your community, in the way you serve them, in the way you use your giftings, artistic and in communication, your interpersonal skills, the way you carry